In stage three, a person finds that he is autonomous. By breaking free of social pressures, he can be himself. Yet there is a risk of fatalism, a feeling that being free is just a form of isolation with no hope of influencing others. How can another person, someone not at this stage, understand what it means? Mahatma Gandhi, because he had renounced the outer trappings, couldn't be grabbed in the usual places. Those in power couldn't threaten him with losing his job, house, family, or even with imprisonment and death. They tried all of these means anyway. Detachment renders the use of power impotent. You validate yourself from within, and this equates with God's blessing. The pull towards spirit is real. For all the outer sacrifices, something seems to have been gained. At this moment, there's a period of adjustment as the person accommodates to a new world so different from that of every day. Stage three is not about becoming an introvert. That is the great temptation, especially for those who misinterpret the words going inward and inner silence. Someone who wants to shrink from the world can use as his excuse that spirituality should be inward. Someone who feels pessimistic can find comfort in rejecting the whole material world. Introversion is not a spiritual state, however. I know one man whose basic attitude is disgust with the world. It can be very draining to be around this man, but he sees himself as a good Buddhist. His path of renunciation really amounts to rejection. To be involved in the world is a muddy, sometimes dispiriting business. God enfolds the whole creation, not just the nice parts. If you start out by rejecting this or that, how will you end up accepting it? True renunciation is quite different. It consists of realizing that there's a reality behind the mask of the material world. The richest man in the world could be a renunciate if he has the proper insights, while a greedy, selfish monk could fall very short of renunciation. Stage three has to do with allegiance. Do you give your allegiance to the inner world or the outer? It will be in the fire of experience that real answers come. Stage four, God the Redeemer. Intuitive response. The higher stages of spirituality seem mysterious because there's nowhere to go beyond silence. We have to look at what silence can grow into, which is wisdom. Psychologists are well aware that wisdom is a real phenomenon. If you pose a battery of problems to subjects who span a range of ages, the older ones will predictably give wiser answers than the younger. It doesn't matter really what the problem is. Wisdom is a perspective. Just as stage three sees the birth of a peaceful God, stage four sees the birth of a wise God. God the Redeemer begins to take back all the judgments that weighed down life. Therefore, his wisdom creates a sense of being loved and nurtured. In this way, the loneliness of the inner world begins to soften. To a psychologist, wisdom is correlated with age and experience, but something much deeper is involved. Spiritual masters speak of second attention. First attention is concerned with the task at hand. Second attention looks beyond, somehow viewing life from a deeper perspective. From this source, wisdom is derived, and the God of stage four appears only when second attention has been cultivated. First attention organizes the surface of life. Second attention organizes the deeper levels. The God of stage four enters one's life only after you make friends with the subconscious. Therapists have an exercise for this, which consists of imagining yourself in a dark cave. You have entered to find the perfect mentor who is waiting for you at the end of a tunnel. You begin to walk toward him, feeling calm and expectant. As you get near the end of the tunnel, a room opens up and you see your mentor with his back to you. He slowly turns around. This is the point at which you are supposed to realize who, out of everyone you have ever met, will be facing you. No gender is implied in the role of mentor. The original mentor, who appeared as tutor and guide to the son of Ulysses, took a male shape but was actually Athena, goddess of wisdom. Myths around the world include heroes who speak directly to gods. Today we are more inhibited. A gut feeling is as close to the Oracle of Delphi as many people are going to get. That we can bypass reason to gain insight is certainly true. I think the two hemispheres of the brain are likely to be the source of first and second attention. We can all intuit and reason at the same time. Doctors have all met patients who know in advance whether or not they have cancer, or whether a surgery will turn out well. The big question of stage 4 is how we can learn to trust second attention. Once you start identifying with the knower, that part of yourself that is intuitive, wise, and perfectly at home in the quantum world, then God assumes a new shape. He turns from all-powerful to all-knowing.